Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast, an actual play RPG podcast. We are back with the fourth part of the third episode of the second season of Rodania. And we are going to rejoin with Eldris Pith.
The ruins of Elderhearth stand silent. The battle between the Demon Seed of Orcus and the Harbinger of Cus has ceased. But not because of any victory. No banners are raised, no corpses litter the streets in new formations. Both sides have simply vanished. Eldris Pith steps carefully through the desolation, his robes trailing over cracked stone and remnants of a war that no longer rages. He came here for answers. Instead, he has found only questions. A strange stillness lingers in the air, as if the very land is holding its breath. Perched on a broken pillar above him, his familiar Corvus watches with unblinking eyes. The raven's feathers are sleek and dark, yet they seem to catch the dim light of the ruins in unnatural ways.
Something lingers. The dead do not leave without cause.
Corvus shifts uneasily, his claws scraping against the stone. He does not speak directly for the Ghoul Lord, but he senses his will, and whatever has happened here does not sit well with him. As Eldris moves toward the outskirts of the ruined city, he sees it. One of the undead has wandered beyond the battlefield. That alone is unusual. Undead servants bound to war do not simply leave it. But this one is different. Its flesh shifts, patches of decay retreating as new skin pulses beneath. Its bones creak, as if reshaping, struggling to decide what form they should take. Moths cluster on its exposed ribs, on its hollow eye sockets. Wings fluttering, shifting, keeping it from settling into a single state. It is neither alive nor dead, neither servant nor master.
This is wrong. The balance shatters.
Eldris watches, and for a brief moment, the thing turns its head toward him. Its expression is not that of a mindless corpse. It is something else. Something aware.
Not yet.
Then, the moths scatter, and the thing collapses to the ground, silent, still. Whatever transformation was happening has failed, or been halted. Corvus flutters down to land near the body, his beady black eyes staring into the remains.
The Lord will not abide this. We must know who has done it.
Eldris nods. All that remains is a single white moth, resting on his hand. The moth keeper is watching.
Okay.
Awesome. Fucking awesome.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
With that stated, Elderhearth is done.
Damn.
Holy.
What?
Yeah, Elderhearth is done.
The armies are gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We reclaim it.
Which will happen. That could be your next action. And don't Jesus think there's Christ. Not going to be something that happens if you guys all go to Elderhearth next time. So.
No, I understand. I'm just concerned.
Could see Demon Seed of Orcus and the curse has dealt with it.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I can't deal with this shit right now. I need... Let's see that...
There's more pressing things.
Yeah. I know, the woods are about to be burned down and a lot of refugees die if we don't do that shit.
I don't think... Robert, as this goes along, I really don't think there's going to... Like, we're going to have to encourage or encounter... Lost in some way, shape, or form.
No. I mean, I get it. It's the whole, like, whatever we leave unaddressed becomes worse. I get it. We are a finite group.
Something we can only deal with so much.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I get it.
Long as we're alive, we can rebuild, Robert.
Yes. Cyphers, what I do hate, however, is that every single information you got about Elderhearth has been...
Well... Yeah, Robert.
He knows some other stuff that he's kept.
Don't worry. Allow me to be a little bit concerned about this, all right?
You should.
Is that okay?
No, it's me with the lunch. It's like, I mean, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, you know what? Let's deal with the people first, the living ones. And then later we deal with freaky undead abominations.
So, just to reiterate, we got there. So, what we saw. Can we get a text of what just happened, by the way, so I can reread that too?
I will I will share the audio. I don't think I have the transcription.
Oh, okay.
Because the transcription has changed a few times, so if I send you what was currently in the transcription, it's actually wrong.
Ah, okay. All right. Okay, gotcha. Excuse me. To reiterate, I guess what happened there is that we saw it sounded like an undead, like an Orcus undead or something.
There was the fight between the Orcus undead and the Spawn of Kais.
And the Spawn of Kais. I thought it was Cuse, but okay. So
I don't know how to actually pronounce it.
It's fair. So the Spawn of Cuse and the Spawn of Cuse and the Orcus undead were fighting. It seems like they either killed each other or something else happened. However, it looks as though the Moth Keepers kind of ended that fight.
You're asking a question that I will not answer.
But I'm sorry.
That's certainly how I interpret what you heard.
That's the interpretation everyone else got, I suppose, right?
Keep an bloody eye on it. I mean, I'm happy not to deal with the undead right now, but
sure. I'm supposing I'm still there. Do I notice that there are cocoons all over the place, similar to like what was happening in our estate ruins?
No.
Oh, so it's just
the
like
the only moths. Thing you noticed about the Moth Keeper was the one undead, or the not undead.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The one corpse that you saw walking around.
Okay.
The thing that should be dead or alive, and it's neither. Or both.
And inside of its chest there was like a cocoon or something?
I've shared the audio, you can listen to it one more time.
Okay, gotcha.
No, I have to draw a line. We have to deal with it.
What do we have to deal with there, Robert?
The living. Trial votes bullshit.
Yes.
All right. Draft. No, I'm going to go to draft for now.
The air outside the Eastwood estate is cool, but it is not his cold. Drak Drakeshield has spent his life walking in true winter, where the ice does not melt, where the wind howls like a starving beast, where the bones of the foolish are buried beneath layers of frost and regret. The nights here are comfortable, almost warm, the kind of cold that lingers at the edges, but never takes root. It makes what he sees tonight all the more unnatural. It begins near midnight, when most of the camp has gone quiet. The moving mountain clan still works under the pale torchlight, their low voices murmuring as they haul stone and timber. Drak should sleep. He does not. Instead, he stands at the edge of the camp, staring toward the distant tree line, where a low mist rolls in from the hills. A figure stands there. Tall. Messy. Unmoving. Watching. Drak does not reach for his weapon. Not yet. Something about the shape is wrong. Familiar, but wrong. He steps forward. The mist clings to his boots. The figure does not move. Not at first. Then slowly, it tilts its head. Not a nod, not a gesture of recognition, just an unnatural shift, as if adjusting to get a better look at him.
Winter Heat.
A name from another life. His name. Drak's muscles tense. His hand grips the haft of his axe. He steps forward again, and the figure is gone. Only mist remains. Only silence. Drak exhales slowly, his breath curling in the cool air. His golden eyes scan the trees, searching for something, anything, that will tell him this was real. That this was not a ghost from his past, stepping forward to remind him of what he left behind. But there is nothing. Only the cold.
Was Drax?
It must be a illusion. I need to back to sleep. I'll tell you the next day.
You drank too much tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Now, does anyone have any questions for me before I move on to Syriana?
I'm here.
No questions.
I don't think any questions so far.
The ruined Eastward estate is not yet a home, but it is no longer just a ruin. The Moving Mountain Clan has set up their tents among the cracked stone and creeping ivy. Their warriors standing watch as laborers clear debris and reinforce old walls. Fires burn low in the night, their embers flickering against the shattered remains of a once proud lineage. Kirana's tent is finer than most, a courtesy of the Goliaths who respect her status, if not yet her claim. The heavy fabric shields her from the night chill, and furs soften the hard ground beneath her. She should sleep well. She does not. Her dreams are filled with shifting patterns, the sensation of something brushing against her thoughts, too light to grasp but impossible to ignore. And then, at some unmarked moment, she is not dreaming at all. She stands within the bones of the estate, but the ruin is different. The walls are whole, yet they breathe. Ivy coils like veins along the stone, pulsating softly with an unseen rhythm. The air is thick with luminous spores, glowing gold and green in the dim light. At the center of it all, in a place that feels untouched by time, Olythre waits. Her long mist-like hair pools at her feet, drifting as if suspended in unseen currents. Tiny orbs of light orbit her form, flickering with the cadence of some unspoken truth. She does not turn immediately, only staring at the far wall, her wide pale eyes unfocused, or focused on something beyond sight. Then, fluid as thought, she looks to Cyrana.
The floor hums with the song, Ansan. Do you hear it?
Cyrana remains still, listening.
The loom weaves, but the pattern is not set. A moth alights on your shoulder. It waits to see if you will brush it away.
The air is thick with meaning. The mothkeeper's presence has loomed at the edges of her awareness ever since duskwood, neither threat nor comfort. Olythre drifts forward, the orbs of light shifting around her.
Then the moth will whisper in your ear, and you will listen.
Silence stretches between them. The golden spores drift lazily, weightless, waiting.
When the frost touches your lips, will you sigh or will you sing?
The words settle deep, wrapping around something unspoken inside her. And then, the dream unravels. She wakes in her tent. The Moving Mountain Clan still sleeps outside. The fires burn low. The ruin stands unched, and resting on the edge of her sleeve, barely visible in the dim firelight, a single white moth. It waits.
Oh my god. Just... It's there. Sorry, I'm not supposed to... I don't know if I'm supposed to, like, continue it, or...
You can do whatever you want.
Right. So this happened before, right?
Happened before.
Or happened after this.
After what?
after our little episode at the Duskwood.
Yes, this is all everything that has been happening. Basically, yeah. A few weeks are going to go by between the Duskwood and the your attempt to get access to the gold boat. So this is what's been going on between those times.
Oh, okay. Okay. I wake up, and I see the moth. And enthralled by it, intrigued, but also worried, because I had previously consulted with the Elistre, I try to approach it, and I lift up my index finger, as in, like, gesturing it to stand on top of it.
It will land on your index finger, and after a moment, it will flutter away, leaving behind a little bit of dust.
Do I feel anything when the moth stands on my finger?
I'm sure you feel things, but nothing extra natural or anything like that.
All right. This is additional wisdom that I hadn't considered, but also, like, my looming destiny. I think about it for, let's say, some 10 minutes, and then I look around. I don't think anyone saw it. So I go back to my tent and meditate over what happened while trying to sleep again.
All right.
That's what I do.
Robert.
Come here.
Yornin wakes up, and there is a letter in front of him. It is sealed.
Okay.
There is a symbol that looks like a snowflake forming the seal.
Shoot. Ah, goddammit. I don't like those. Who was on watch tonight? Eh. I'm gonna peek my head out and ask if anyone came by.
No one knows of anything. No one knows of anyone coming by.
Of course not. Great. I'm gonna take that bloody letter and read it.
All right. It is an invitation to a meeting in the Duskwoods tonight.
Keep going.
The meeting is by someone known as Valen Frostvale.
Isn't that a name which I should know? One moment.
Jesus Christ.
Have you ever mentioned that name to me? No.
Not you.
Not you.
Not you. Nope. Alright. Okay, I think I'm gonna bring the party together. How's everyone?
Hi.
I'm good. Hi.
Hey. I'm great. Wonderful. Roland, how are you settling in? Oh, wait. He might not be here right now. Alright. Long story short, I had a creepy letter on my wardrobe when I woke up.
Oh.
That's not great.
No, it's not.
So that's an invitation by someone by the name of Valen Frostvale, and it's due tonight. And I want to know, what?
You get a flashback. Congratulations.
Wait,
the frozen spires of Aluthian rose against the twilight sky, their glacial peaks glistening under the ever-present northern lights. Within the halls of Caladriel, where the air hummed with celestial magic, Kirana Lindis stood beside her mentor, Vale Therian Iceborn, awaiting the arrival of an emissary from the Winter Court. She remembered the way his presence commanded the room, an unspoken gravity in the stillness.
She's not one to be kept waiting. The Winter Court does not extend invitations lightly.
Kirana remembers herself asking if this was an invitation or an evaluation. She recalled how Vale Therian's expression did not change, though his fingers briefly curled as if measuring his response.
Words can only warn, not prepare. You must see for yourself.
The chamber doors parted soundlessly, and a gust of cold air whispered through the hall. Entering with deliberate grace, Valen Frostvale stepped forward, her presence as sharp as the frost upon glass. Her silver hair cascaded like falling ice, her robes woven with threads of frozen starlight. Kirana remembered the way Valtherian's posture shifted, still composed, but impossibly still, like a statue waiting for something unseen to strike.
Eluthian remains a marvel, Valtherian. Always as I remember it.
As time does not erode the ice, neither does it erode your courtesy, Valen. Your presence is an honor.
Kirana felt the weight of Vale Therian's words. Formal, respectful, yet laced with something else. A restraint, perhaps. Or something close to it.
And you must be Kirana Lindis. Your name has reached many ears.
Kirana remembers herself replying that her time in Caladriel had been enlightening, challenging, and full of lessons she did not expect. She recalled Valen's expression, a knowing, amused glint behind the frost.
A wise answer. I have come not merely to exchange pleasantries, but to glimpse the shape of your future. There are those who wonder if you might walk among us one day.
The words lingered like frost upon stone. Kirana remembered how Vale Therian did not move, but she felt the unspoken tension in the air. Something colder than the ice, deeper than the silence. Kirana remembers herself hesitating, answering that she was still finding her own path.
Every path leads somewhere, child. Even those we do not yet see.
Baleen, we honor your presence, but but let us not mistake interest for inevitability. Kirana's future is her own to shape.
Of course. And yet, the wind does not ask the snow where it will fall, nor does the river request permission before carving through stone. Some things are simply meant to be.
Vale Therian's gaze remained steady, but Cyrana remembered the quiet certainty in his voice. He did not raise it, nor did he move, but she knew that something within him had settled. An immovable pillar against the tide.
Consider, Cyrana, Dejaina. If winter extends its hand, would you have the courage to grasp it?
Cyrana did not answer, for she knew in that moment that a choice, whether now or later, had already been placed before her. And when Valen left, Vale Therian finally turned to her, his voice lower than before, the closest thing to something only meant for her.
The Winter Court and the Summer Court play games that few rarely survive. Be cautious. Kirana, do not let yourself become a piece on their board.
Okay. Anything about this person? Because we absolutely... This person has invited her to the Duskwood, which is weird because we just liberated it, in all fairness, and it should be under the control of the Warden. So, can anyone enlighten me, please, who this new local player is?
I know this person. It's her. I'm sorry. What did the letter say?
It's an invitation to meet in the Duskwood tonight. I am happily married, so I just want to point this out.
No, you misunderstand. Cool. This is not such an invitation. This is a political figure. Back in Calatville. And, well, it's one of the big ones, you could say.
Okay. Why is it addressed to me and not to you, then?
I believe there might be the possibility that, well, this could very well not be about me, right? I am not the center of, you know, Calatville politics.
Honestly, I have not had any contact with Galadriel before you popped up, so...
But if it was about me...
Right.
This could prove advantageous, because you see, this might be someone trying to reach out to you, and maybe they don't know that you know me.
Okay. So do you they want might... to stay hidden, or...
Well, if you are going to go, which I do suggest you at least hear her out, as it would be seen as very unpalatable if you were to miss the appointment, I do believe that it would be a most cautious course of action to remain hidden for at least a while and evaluate the situation and see whether I show my face or not.
Right, so... You want us all to stalk in there and say hello to this political figure while you stay behind and evaluate if you don't intervene there.
I believe that's a good course of action.
I still don't
understand why this is happening, but this is a person who always has an interest in mind.
So this is legit enough to be a thing I should actually, like, pursue, to, like, talking to.
Well, if you don't think the full weight of the Galadriel Kingdom is...
I know nothing about it. I know nothing about it. Again, I ask because I do not know this person.
Okay, I'm going to point out one thing, just so that Velvet is aware, because her character would be. Cyrana will know that she is an emissary of the Winter Court. That does not mean that she is part of Galadriel. The politics about which of the city-states are sort of aligned with which of the courts are messy. And you will also know that Valtherian has resisted being used as a pawn for the Winter Court.
Yes. Okay, so remind me. I'm from the Winter Court of Kingdom in from Atherion? No, I'm not.
No. Your court would actually be more aligned with Spring than it would be of anything else.
All right.
But Valtherian was, he definitely should be aligned with Winter. His domain falls within the bounds of Winter.
And he warned
me. He warns you about being a pawn in their games.
Right.
Because, let me put it this way. The heads of Winter are not averse to sacrificing pawns for their betterment.
Right. Yes. Okay. Now, I remember that. And I tell you, Doran. So, this is an emissary of the Winter Court. They don't play light games. And I do think we should be at least hearing them out. But we should remain careful. This is something worth putting our time into. Because they are a very influential nation. They have influence and soldiers, let's say, hidden soldiers around the world, potentially. And that's something I don't want to deal with. And I don't think you should too. And if there's anything I don't want while being with any of you most esteemed adventure friends, is to be a burden to you. So, I understand that this was addressed to you, and as such, I ask of you that you go and see it through. But if you don't, if you don't want to get your hands messy, I can just take your invitation and go myself. Although I don't advise that.
Right. So, I guess I'm gonna go. State figurehead and all that. Do you want to be visible, or do you want to stay behind, or...
I want to stay hidden for at least the beginning of the interaction.
It's fine with me. Hey, everyone else, unless you have some pressing matters to do, gear up. Let's get a look into that, into the Duskwood, see what has changed.
Tharuk? I look toward Tharuk, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yes.
And I say, this is a very pressing event, so I need you to be on your tiptoes for this one. Right? I will be concealed, but you should remain with the rest, and if anything were to happen, I will call all of
you. Okay. You decide. I was going to suggest that he just stays with you while you were hidden, but that's...
That's a very sensible...
He will stay, because I have set some stuff up. He will stay out in the open.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
And if anything were to happen, I will just cast message onto you guys.
Since I'm using pre-recorded people, I have to make some assumptions about what's going on.
Of course. Any suggestions how to address this person?
If there's any suggestion I can give you, my dear John, is to never lay low.
I am a halfling.
I will what's the word? It's like reverberate? No, it's not reverberate. It's like whatever. I will repeat the words that my tutor told me. Do not let yourself become their pawn.
Uh-huh.
Because you like to play chess games with other people.
Okay. So, I don't know if I have mentioned it. Do you know how my house got to be?
What do you mean?
Killed a Feylord.
Right. I'm not saying...
No, I'm just saying, like, power. We are pretty much based on the whole, like, fuck whoever thinks they're in charge. They fucked too much with the little people, and they're gonna pay.
Right. She laughs. I'm not questioning your prowess.
No, I'm not saying I want to repeat that act. I was just going to say, like, I think I want to become a pawn in this matter at all, which... All right. You know what? I'm curious enough to hear them out, all right?
Of course you don't.
But I genuinely have absolutely no idea what they could offer, which would be like, ooh, I need this right now, and I'm totally gonna absolutely throw away all caution.
Right. No, I understand.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Choose your words carefully.
Yeah, I will try. Fair enough. All right. Yes. We're heading to the Duskwoods, yes.
The Duskwoods had grown silent, save for the whispers of the wind weaving through gnarled branches. The Grove of Echoes, a place of old magic and forgotten voices, stood bathed in moonlight, its ancient stones half buried beneath creeping roots. Tonight, it would bear witness to a meeting that could shift the balance of power in Eastward. A soft mist curled around the feet of those gathered, drawn by forces unseen. Kelgrim Deeprot stood with his arms folded, his amber eyes glowing faintly in the dim light. Tharok Stonavale remained close, his stance deliberately firm, his presence like an immovable pillar. Here, in the depths of the Duskwood, surrounded by its spectral echoes, Kelgrim held the advantage. The land knew him, and it favored him. But then the air shifted. A presence rolled through the clearing like an unseen frost, subtle yet undeniable. The temperature plummeted, not as an abrupt chill, but a slow, creeping stillness that seeped into the bones. The night itself seemed to lean closer, listening. And then, from the mist, she emerged. Valen Frostvile did not walk so much as glide, her form wrapped in a cloak of woven ice and moonlight. Where she stepped, the mist parted, and the glow of the ancient stones dimmed as if bending to her presence. The weight of the grove, once aligned with Tharok and the others, now felt uncertain, as though it did not know which master to serve.
The air's heavy with expectation tonight. Good. It means we stand at the precipice of something worth discussing.
Her voice was smooth as ice over still water, effortless and unhurried. She let the silence stretch before continuing.
Eastward is at a crossroads, though I suspect you have long known that. The winds of war shift, and when they settle, there will be those who endure and those who are swept aside. The question before you is simple. Will Eastward stand, or will it be left to the mercy of those who do not know the meaning of mercy?
Kelgrim exhaled through his nose, his voice low and steady.
Words shaped like riddles. You fey never say what you mean outright.
And yet, you understand them perfectly, Warden Deepra.
Tharok Stonavale shifted his stance slightly, his green eyes narrowing as he studied Valin. Something in the grove had shifted, something intangible but undeniable. It was not a threat, not quite, but the weight of the space no longer sat where it had before. His voice was steady, but there was no mistaking the edge in his tone.
You didn't call us here just to remind us of the dangers we already know. Speak plainly. Noah, what does the Winterfang Pact want? Midnis?
Valine's gaze lingered on Tharok for a moment, as if weighing whether or not to amuse his demand. When she spoke, her words were measured, but there was the faintest hint of amusement in her expression.
The Summer Court's reach extends further than most realize. Claudia Mark is no mere merchant. She is their foothold, their tether to this realm. If she succeeds, Eastward will find itself under a rule that is not its own. You know this, and so do we. That is why I am here.
She let the words settle, then allowed a slow, knowing smile to cross her lips before she continued.
Of course, should Eastward refuse the hand extended to it, there will be others willing to take it. Winter does not choose its allies lightly, but neither does it sit idle. A storm comes, and it will seek those who would shelter within its embrace. Would you prefer to stand beside it, or face it alone?
The words were not a threat, not exactly, but they carried a weight that could not be ignored. The invitation had been given, and now the choice rested in the hands of those who had come to hear it.
Back to the party.
So I heard nothing of how many troops, how many supplies, how many magical items or otherwise aids.
Eastward would gain from this. I'm currently at war. If you want to be an ally, then speak plainly.
Didn't see that one coming, did you?
Sorry.
Actually, no. I'm going through my canned responses, and I don't think...
You have one for Robert saying, nah, fuck you. Fuck your idea.
Success.
All right, give me a moment. Let me come up with a new response.
Of course. Take your time.
Nice. Okay, so it's not about me. Great.
No, dude. No, you're good.
Actually, it isn't. No.
I told you, like, Serana told you, like, this might just not be about me, you know?
No. It's true. Yeah, I was warned that it seemed, like, very addressed towards me, but this is ridiculous.
I mean, if Robert decides to actually become... what's the word I'm looking for? If he does somehow become allied, like, I feel like this is going to be a problem for you, though. But...
I'm sorry, who is going to be a problem?
It's going to be a problem for Velvet.
For me,
yeah, I'm not even sure if it would be a problem. It would just be very unhappy. Oh yeah, no, politically it would be a problem for you.
It's a problem, right?
Right.
Yeah, right.
You are aligned against the Winterfell court a bit. Right?
Like this is going to be something you're going to have to make a decision. I suppose that's what I should have been. It's going to be something you're going to have to address eventually.
Right, but not for now.
No, not this immediate second. No, you're.
Also, any incongruences we might have, we might be able to iron them out eventually.
I think the Dungeon Master is currently working on it.
I'm currently working on the responsible one.
I'm watching people using Grindr to play Beyblades, so don't mind me if I space out.
don't space out. I need you right now, man.
Okay, I'm sorry, buddy. This is a little break for my brain right now. So
you need Grindr for that? That's not what you use Grindr for.
No, you're right, but it's working really well. Like, it's kind of amazing how hard these Beyblades are going.
I'm sure different spinning things will eventually show up in your DMs if you don't stop.
No. He's talking about Grindr the 2.
I'm sorry.
I
also thought that at first.
We're not using gentle folks.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking at their what they want thing. It's not gonna happen.
Oh, fuck this then.
There is a fuck ton of shit in there which is just absolutely not going to happen.
Should we declare war on them, Robert?
I'm not going to declare war on the Winter Court.
The Winter Court does not extend doesn't extend these very nicely. So your refusal might mean that they'll declare war on you anyway.
Oh yeah, sure, fair enough.
They do have quite a lot of boys.
They have a lot of boys?
They have a lot of boys.
Yeah, 200 to 300 boys.
Response is being cooked. It'll come out shortly. I have not pre-listened to this, so just FYI if there's any audio issues.
It's going to be sexual, isn't it?
I really hope it is.
Always.
No. I have the text, but I don't but I don't know for a fact the audio is going to be perfect.
Excuse me.
Alright, I shape the results.
Are we in any way aligned with any court?
No, and we want to keep it that way.
Yeah, I figured.
I can tell you, however, our rivals are with the Summer Court.
Yeah. Because we don't like Summer Court.
I have a plan.
Ian let the question settle for a moment, as if measuring the weight of the ass. Then, with the certainty of ice forming over still water, she spoke.
Winter does not deal in empty promises. What we offer is tangible, proven, and unwavering. A shield against those who would see you undone, and the strength to carve your own fate before another carves it for you.
She extended a hand slightly, a as if revealing the options before them.
We can grant you warriors who do not falter, blades that do not dull, and enchantments that twist the battlefield in your favor. Our emissaries can disrupt Summer's reach, severing their ties before they strangle you in silken chains. And should you require knowledge, true knowledge, not whispers shaped to deceive, we can provide that as well.
She let the words hang for a moment, the frost settling deeper into the earth beneath her feet.
More than that, we can offer you the service of the Winterfang Pact, warriors already prepared to fight in the cold, trained to strike from the shadows before your enemies even know they are hunted.
Her tone remained even, but there was something deliberate in her next words, measured and precise.
And just as important as what we offer is what we withhold. Winter does not place trust in fickle creatures who serve only themselves. The Dragonborn are no ally. They are an unreliable partner at best, a danger at worst. They seek power, not balance, and would just as easily turn on you as they would your enemies.
The cold in the air did not deepen, but it remained sharp, carrying the weight of an offer that could change the course of what lay ahead.
Winter offers power to those who understand the cost of wielding it. The question is not what we will grant you, but whether you are willing to accept what must come with it.
I think there was a little bit of confusion, so I'm going to fix one line on there. When she specifically talked about the Dragonborn, I believe I shared with your report that the Dragonborn are currently speaking.
They're coming with. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So they're a little more than just a mild inconvenience.
Are very much not for us.
Yes. Thank you for clearing that up. Yeah. I would like to confer my constituents. It will be just a blink of an eye for you. Privacy is appreciated. And I'm going to take 5 steps back. All right, guys, what do we think?
My lord, the Winter Court could give us access to quite a bit of knowledge that we do not have.
Right.
Kelgrim remained silent for a long moment, his amber eyes reflecting the cold light of the grove. He exhaled through his nose, slow and steady, before finally speaking.
The Duskwood has seen many seasons. Winter does not come without purpose, nor does it leave without consequence. The land remembers who walks upon it, and it does not forget the weight of their steps.
He turned his gaze to Valen, his expression unreadable.
Balance is a word used by those who wish to shape it. The question is not what Winter claims it desires, but what will be left when it has what it seeks.
Yeah, I'm gonna take that wise druid speak as I'm against it, if you don't mind. Like, just gonna settle us down into the words of a common man like myself.
I'm just giving you the input of your NPCs.
Oh, and I know. I love it. But I'm also the down-to-earth baron here. I'm not the hoity-toity earth baron.
So I will let the rest of you continue to confer amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to cast message. I mean, I'm assuming I can hear this DM, right? Even though hidden?
I am willing to say that he is stepping back to where you can confer. Fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to keep you sidelined.
Near a suspicious bush, which is velvet-shaped. Yes. Which is liana-shaped.
All right.
Lorella-shaped. There we go, sorry.
Lorella-shaped. All right. I approach you guys. I mean, well, I'm still hidden, of course. And, I mean, I tell you, Bob, so this was not about me, which is honestly good. But, Jornan, tell me you're not considering this.
Okay, I'm gonna take that as a firm hell no.
No. I'm simply going to remind you of my word. Accept her power is to become her.
Look, Clarella, I'm not the wisest person, I'm fully aware of this. However, I was told more than once a wise ruler, leader, whatever, seeks the guidance and opinions of his trusted companions surrounding him. Okay?
Correct.
All right. So I'm just going to throw this out if someone wants to, like, say something. Anyone else wants to offer an opinion?
I'm certainly not for it in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have us having ties to them. If we succeed, we would then have the presence of winter still lingering in our regions forevermore afterwards, which would be a poor continuation of our lines life. And I don't know that it will be an ideal situation to have them with us.
All right.
In general.
I am somewhat concerned about the army they boast, but, I mean, what's another enemy, right?
I like your attitude. Yeah. I mean, I can't fault stats. You make a fair point.
I do have another opinion, though.
First
of all, not only if you accept will you, well, kind of become the pawn, but also, well, if you think about it, do you have to see through any promises you make?
Yeah, okay.
But you could very much, you could very well accept any sort of agreement you might offer, and then not compromise yourself to see it through completely.
Right. Hey, Drax, you have been suspiciously quiet about this. Do you have any insight or opinion on this, or... It's a lot. I'm throwing a lot at...
No, not really.
No, I get it, honestly.
I have to say is I agree with the Dragonborn part. Because, well, the thing didn't say lies. They care about power and not balance. So, yeah, there's nothing much to do.
All right.
Convincing a dragon to give up an item from their hoard for a benefit they might not need? I don't...
I'm gonna be honest, none of those things sound particularly... So, wonderful. So I'm gonna try to phrase this in a way which into a battle. Wish me luck. And maybe Bardic Inspiration, you know. Alright, never mind.
Maybe,
I got it.
Before you go.
Yeah.
Ask if there's any other way you could gain their favor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna shove that stick off. Put your fancy words aside and give me what I want so far up their ass, they're gonna taste it with their mouth.
I thought you were happily married. All right. Well, there you go.
I am very happily married, yes. hello. Yes. I apologize. Mistress, Lady Frostvale? Which lady one would be? Lady is fine, yes. We are rivals of those which we presume to be the Summer Court's pawns, as you call them. We are against those untrustworthy and enemies of these untrustworthy dragonborn.
Trying to finish a thought, you stopped talking.
No, that was it. If you want us to be helpful in weakening our rivals, which are the pawns of the Summer Court, and deal with the untrustworthy people, you can just give us things. You can just give us that knowledge which we require. But there will be, I'm afraid, only the path of not an alliance, because an alliance would be built upon trust, which is not there. I thank you for your efforts and time, and I hope that in time you see the wisdom of simply aiding us will lead to the conclusion of what you wish to happen.
Don't know if any of my canon responses work, so give me a moment.
Probably not.
Yeah. I didn't think about the third option of just give us stuff and don't give us an alliance.
Well, in all fairness, everything I want is what she wants, or the Winter Court wants. I just don't want the alliance, so my chances are better doing it if they just help me without asking for 1,000 things, which I will not give them.
That's a smart way to see it. Although she might just look at you like a coward.
Sure.
And then we would face our enemies head on without her help, yes.
And we just kill her. Whatever.
No.
Shoot the messenger.
Yeah, no, they're not shooting the messenger. She sent a polite invitation to a talk, and the conclusion of the talk is go screw yourself.
I know, but what if I kind of just don't like her?
Then you will wait. I'm going to put my foot down. Currently, she is on my domain. I'm the Baron here. You will not break, what's it called, the sacred law of hospitality.
No, of course. I wasn't actually intending to kill her.
No. Kill her, like, on your own time or at a later point in time when it's not after during a negotiation talk. I'm okay with that.
No. I mean, like, down the line.
Oh, yeah, down the line.
You are there to threaten us.
I have no current... Like, you know everything I know about her. I don't got give enough of a shit about her.
Also, the words of... What was the name?
Valen's lips curved, just slightly. Not in amusement, nor in disappointment, but something far more difficult to place. A breath of frost curled in the air as she inclined her head.
Ah, Aga. A kingdom that does not wish to kneel. Admirable. Predictable. But tell me, Baron, do you believe that standing alone is the same as standing strong?
Her tone remained smooth, but there was a weight beneath it. A cold certainty that turned her words into something sharper.
Winter does not ask for chains. We do not demand oaths sworn in blood, or fealty bent at the knee. But strength, true strength, comes not only from will, but from knowing which hands to take when the storm rises.
She took a slow step forward, the frost beneath her feet barely forming before vanishing into the earth.
You claim we are on the same side. That is well and good. But when the Summer Court tightens its grip, when the Dragonborn push their advantage, when the tide turns against you, will you still say the same? Or will you call for aid, hoping that Winter does not remember the cold distance of your words?
The air did not grow colder, but the weight of her presence remained, like the distant whisper of a blizzard not yet come.
Go ahead.
Yes. Yes to all of that. I will still remain true to that. I will not come begging for help. And I will surround myself with allies I can well trust. You are none of that. Leave in good order. And thank you for this conversation.
What? Oh, sorry, I wasn't muted.
All right.
I'm sorry, I have refused the Winter Court.
No, I did have a canned response for you refusing the Winter Court. I'm just wondering if the conversation has veered off enough that I should just generate a new response for that. But I'm just going to go with the canned response.
All right.
For a long moment, Valen said nothing. The frost did not spread, nor did the cold bite deeper, but the stillness carried weight. Then she exhaled softly, a breath that curled in the night air like drifting snow.
So be it. Winter does not beg, nor does it forget.
Her gaze passed over each of them, unreadable, her expression carrying neither disappointment nor anger, only certainty,
The seasons turn, whether you wish them to or not. When the winds shift and the cold presses against your door, I hope you remember this moment. I hope you understand what you have chosen.
Without another word, Valine turned, the frost at her feet dissipating into mist as she moved. The air warmed ever so slightly as she vanished into the darkness, leaving only silence in her wake.
And this is where we'll call it for this session.
I would like 5 more minutes of everyone's time, if that is okay.
That is fine.
Yes. Sorry, what was the warden's name?
Kilgrim.
Oh, Kilgrim, yes. Kilgrim, this is a, for all intents and purposes, sacred place, not to the gods, but to...
the land.
The land, yes. John takes out his sword. He makes a little cut on his arm and lets a few drops of blood drip down. Then this is my sacred oath. I will not become a pawn of the Fae. I will not come begging to them. I will take alliances only with measure and greatest care, and when the price to be paid is on me and me alone and not those I wish to protect. If I ever forget these words, mind me of them, friends. Because I will not see this land become the battlefield of the seasons. All right, let's get back. I'm hungry.
Okay. I'm generating a response for your NPCs.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so speaking about next time, I'll speak about it once I'm done with the...
Yeah, of course. I didn't mean for you to...
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just trying to figure out how am I going to use the NPCs with you guys at the table. It's a bit hard.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's honestly a great. I like this. The interaction at least is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see the complication. Obviously, very soon, it's, like in the event that it's like, okay, I have 12 canned responses for everything they can do, and then it's D&D. Then
you
do the
13. You do the other thing. You'll always know I will take the option you least expect.
I will also say, just so that you're aware, I had a ton of questions that you could have asked. You just decided not to.
I know.
As Valine's presence faded, the cold lingered for just a moment longer before the natural stillness of the duskwood returned. The silence held, heavy with the weight of decisions made. Kilgrim exhaled through his nose, his amber eyes watching the mist settle where she had stood. When he finally spoke, his voice was steady, but there was something thoughtful in the cadence.
The Fae do not play games. They weave them into the air we breathe and the ground we walk. Swearing to resist them is well and good, but the roots of their influence run deep, even when you cannot see them.
Tharic stepped forward, his stance unwavering, his voice carrying the weight of a warrior's oath.
Then I will cut those roots wherever I find them. I swear it. Nom ni, want to, nasty tab by twine. If the summer court or the winter court think they can shape our fate, they will learn how wrong they are.
The words settled in the quiet, spoken not as fleeting thoughts, but as promises set in stone.
Those are your NPC responses.
I love Tharic so much.
He is rather straightforward, yes. I will meet my enemy head on.
And then I bash my head against it until one of us breaks.
Uh-huh. I love him so much.
Okay.
Okay. I am perfectly fine if anyone wants to do anything else with any of the stuff that's been going on.
The Winter Court claimed to not come with chains, but the moment we refused their benevolent hand, they threatened us.
Yeah.
The chains were there as much as at the Summer Court.
Yep.
So, did she leave?
Yes.
Yeah.
She left, right? So we're just off now. Can I leave out of my Lorella bush?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
I can't promise you she didn't know that you were there or the whole time, but you could drop the facade at least.
Okay. No, I don't think it was necessary. I mean, I don't think she knew. But I come out of my concealment. Mm-hmm. I tell to Farouk that I really appreciate how loyal and straightforward you are.
He'll give a slight bow. Blushing slightly.
And I tell all of you, I especially to Jorah, you did a good job in resisting their claim. Their claim, because really, she was pretty much trying to claim you for her purposes.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, not she, but rather, you know, in the name of the court. She was trying to. And you did well in resisting her. But now I must ask you, how do you plan on taking her on? Should winter come?
Well, that's the fun part about it. That doesn't change anything in the equation because there's a shit ton of white dragons, so arguably winter has come already and we are preparing for exactly those.
Right.
Frost resistance, I still have it.
I still have it. And you know what? It's great that you're telling us about this because I had heard about this wonderful boat we probably need to heist in order to get some stuff. Actually, we'll tell you all about it on the way. Yes.
Right.
No, but
I am stopping the recording here unless there's anything anyone else wants to do on the recording.
I just want you to confirm something. She basically told us straight up that the Marquis, what's her name again? Sorry.
Claudia Marquis.
Claudia was her name.
Last name is Mark.
Okay. So what?
That's her last name.
No. Claudia Marquis is with the Summer Court.
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's something we didn't know before.
I'm pretty sure we knew that.
But...
Summer Court, you didn't know that she was outright.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think that makes me...
You also knew the Estelians worked with them?
No, the Estelians, yes. The Marquis, not necessarily. Now we know that. And also, it makes me less hesitant about attacking the bloody boat at this point. So, I'm... Cool.
Yeah, the trade consortium is fairly related. You mean, yeah?
Yes, solved some problems for me at least. So.
Yeah, your moral quandaries about this attack has been reduced.
Yep.
All right. Then, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Thanks all.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on Twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.